Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to another edition of DIY Money.
DIY Money.
What's that, Logan?
Have you become a country music fan yet?
Love the country music. Morgan Wallen. I am all about the Morgan Wallen. I really like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only know really two songs. The line 'em up, shoot 'em up, whatever that is.
Yeah.
That's the number one I know. And then the other, last night, blah, 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 blah. And which is a little, I have to kind of make sure my kids are not listening to that because it's a little, yeah. It's a little over the line. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I like it. Like, I just like the sound. I like the whatever. But yeah, I mean, dude, I could recite almost every one of Alabama's. When I do karaoke, I bring out Alabama.
I love it.
Like I can harmonize with Alabama.
Well, you gave me a job that we needed a country playlist.
Yeah, we do.
We put a good playlist together.
It's fire.
It's fire.
Can't wait. Logan is a man of many hats. I mean, if you saw him in you would assume something. And then learn something totally different. So you would see him in the office and figure, oh my gosh, this guy's so Wall Street. Like you'd be like, is he private equity? Is he an analyst? What is he? And then you'd talk to him and be like, oh my gosh, he's like full rodeo.
What kind of music do you usually have here?
Oh, we got both kinds. We got country and Western.
Like full rodeo.
He is a country music loving, you know, game toting. And I mean, like when I say game, like he loves board games and, you know, you don't read though. You don't read.
I do audiobooks.
Yeah, that's not reading.
Well,
I mean, it is reading, but yeah. No.
I have an hour commute each way, so I just listen to audiobooks.
I would power through some audiobooks.
Yeah,
I
do tons of audiobooks.
So what I meant by that is like one thing people always find weird about me is that I love to read.
You're an avid reader, yeah.
I love to read, and in the evenings I read fiction, mm-hmm. and so it helps me to immediately go to sleep, and so that's why it takes me a very long time to read one book unless I go on a vacation or something and I just
yeah because you pass out after
yeah because I do
pages.
I'll read the and I'm that guy who reads like the same paragraph three times because I'm like gosh I fell asleep again and I go back and I read and. Yeah, but people find that fascinating when I tell them the books that I've read, and they're like, what?
You read a little bit of everything.
Everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get that Kindle gives me recommendations, and so sometimes I'm like, oh, that's weird. Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, but I loved it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I know I've said this a million times, but the Libby app is the bomb.
Libby app is the bomb.
Get your audiobooks or your mm-hmm. library books there. It's
yep.
amazing.
Fire. All right. What else?
Not much. I mean, you got Derby. I mean, I know that this is going to air after the
Derby.
But
yeah.
You got the Derby. You're going to...
Not only do we have the Derby, but really something very, very cool coming up. And we'll know more about this, and I'll be able to share with people this. One of the reasons I came to Kentucky is I loved horses. Mm-hmm. And there's two different primary reasons I came to the state of Kentucky to attend university. But I loved horses. Grew up, we had over 50 head of horses on our property growing up, all paint show horses or whatever. But I loved thoroughbred, mm-hmm. and I loved thoroughbred racing. And so years ago, I had the opportunity with a very good friend to buy into a mare. And the mare, periodically, once a year, is covered by a stallion
yep.
and has a yearling. And then we try to sell the yearling at the sales. And it's
for people that don't know what a yearling is and a yearling sale is, explain that.
So all horses turn one the January 1st after they're born. So if they're born in March, the following January 1, they all turn one. They are all considered yearlings. So
right.
They're born, they're a foal. They're then removed from the mom. They're called a weanling. They're weaned off the mom. It's called a weanling. And then after one, they're called a yearling.
Mm-hmm.
And then thoroughbreds, when they become two, they're put into training.
Yep.
And then they potentially start to race. So,
and they all run the... All of the horses that run the Derby are three-year-olds.
That's correct. So three-year-old. So they go through one season. Some of them a very short season because they are amazing and
yeah.
win some short races or some... early races, and then they're in the Derby. So we own a mare, have for years, and if you would look at it like a chart, it was like Tesla recently. Like, the early days of this mare was amazing. I was like, I'm in the wrong business. I need 50 mares. Like, this is unbelievable. And then, just like Tesla this year, it just trickled down and down and down and down and down. And it was still fine. I mean, it's still a business. And this is like a very small piece of the overall, mm-hmm. you know, portfolio for us. It is just a lot of fun. I mean, it's just that's code for we're losing money, but it's fun. Okay. But we have a foal right now, a Union Rag. So Union Rags is the stallion.
Okay.
Our mare, which is what we've owned, her name is Maddie and Morgan. We call her M&M. We had a foal by Union Rags. So it's a filly.
Okay.
And unfortunately, until just recently, the Union Rags sort of crop, that's what it's called. So it's a little crazy, but the crop of horses has not performed all that great.
And lineage is everything in horse racing.
Bloodlines.
Yeah.
All 100%. So when we get our mare covered by a stallion, what we're doing is trying to say, okay, we think this stallion is going to have babies that are going to race well, which would mean ours is going to be worth more money.
Right.
Well, until a couple weeks ago,
terrible.
That's not happening. Right. Like, Union Rags is cold as could be, is awful. And so we're like, well, you know, we'll just see what happens and so forth. And September is the time we would sell this yearling, like going to the Keeneland sale, putting him in the auction. Hey, that's what we would do. Okay. About 2 weeks ago, my partner pings me and goes, hey, a Union Rags filly won the Gulfstream Grade 2 Oaks, which is a big race.
Mm-hmm.
And puts that filly in the big Oaks race on Friday before the Derby. So the Oaks Day, which is Friday in Kentucky at the Churchill Downs, is for the girls, all fillies, and then Saturday is the Derby. And then, just so you know, when you turn the Derby on, you're like, oh, it's 2 minutes. Well, there's an entire race card. There's like 10 or 12 races all day long. So there is a horse running in the Kentucky Oaks. The horse's name is Power Squeeze. Booyah, that's as correlated to the market analogy as I could get to. Power Squeeze. And I will say this. If Power Squeeze were to win the Kentucky Oaks,
you'll be doing backflips.
That is very bullish for the Tatros. It is very bullish. So it is so fun. That's what I mean by that. The business in horse racing is amazing, because you talk about pin action in stocks. Like, if you own company XYZ and it's, you know, parts supplier reports that business is gangbusters, well, then that means that their business is gangbusters.
Right.
Like, it's same thing with horse industry. You could, you know, be sitting there looking at your horse being like, gosh, you are terrible. Like, what is wrong with you? You can't even stand up straight. You don't even look right. I mean, I'm joking. But, and then all of a sudden, you know, 15 states away, a horse wins in the same bloodline, and you come in the next day and you're like, you are amazing. I love you. That's what's happening.
That's so on.
Yeah. All right, we got to move on.
Holy cow.
Move on. We got a question from Alex. What do you got?
DIY.
Hi, DIY Money. My question is about I-bonds. I'm 36 years old, and I have a pretty small allocation of bonds in my portfolio today, mostly a bond index fund. I'm wondering, is it a good idea to use I-bonds as my main bond allocation in my portfolio from here on out? Why or why not? Thanks so much.
Okay, Alex, I'm going to address this broadly because I don't know your specific situation. So let's run through the, you know, basics first, right? Number one, $1,000 fast cash. Hopefully that you've checked that box. Number two, 3 months of emergency fund. Hopefully you've checked that box. All the while, you are hopefully allocating approximately 10% to your retirement account, getting the match, etc. Then after that, you've paid down, you know, garbage debt. So you don't have credit cards, you don't have student loans, you don't have auto loans. You're kind of knocking those things out. And now you're looking to invest. Now, you might be asking this question in regards to your overall 401k or what you're doing through in work. Or you're saying, no, this is ancillary money in my Roth or my brokerage account or whatever. But I'm going to blanket the answer and say as follows. At 36 years of age, in the accumulation stage, unless there's something else going on, personally speaking, I'm not so sure I'd worry too much about bonds.
Right.
I mean, again, my general rule of thumb, I don't know if I've ever talked about this or if I talk about this in the book, I'd have to go back and look, but When people look at allocations, I always talk about taking your decade. Like if you're 36, that would be the 30s, or if you're 46, that would be the 40s, removing 10, and that could be a good benchmark for your bond allocation. In that scenario, 30s minus 10 is 20, so that means I'm suggesting an 80-20 sort of bond allocation. Now, personally speaking, I actually don't think that matters until you get into the 40s. So I would throw a caveat in there, big asterisk, and say, don't follow this until you're in your 40s. Now, mid-40s or 50s, you want to be looking at saying, okay, I'm taking risk off the table. So the way I would answer this is I would say, why do you have bonds in your portfolio? Now, you may say, well, Quint, because I am so petrified of the market. I don't like the volatility. It makes me sick. It keeps me up at night. Okay. Well, in that case, qualitatively, no problem. Like, I'm never going to argue with your risk temperament. I never do that. So if that's you, then that's another reason. And that's okay. And I'll let Logan touch on, you know, the I-bond or what to own. But I would really, again, you are in a accumulation phase of your life. If you're not on our newsletter, I have a newsletter coming out, or actually by the time this airs, it will have been out, so you can see it at our website. And I would encourage everybody to look at that. Maybe I'll put it on the DIY Money site. It says, Why We Invest. Why We Invest. And one of the most sort of the greatest charts, the most jaw-dropping charts that I use in there is just a historical look at different asset classes. Now at 36, dollar cost averaging into the market, personally speaking, I'm not a bond fan. I know you didn't ask that, and there might be other things going on, but I'm not a bond fan.
Well, he always did have an inflated opinion of himself.
I didn't answer your question, so maybe Logan will. What say you, Logan?
Yeah, so I think everything Quint said is completely valid, and you really have to understand your own risk tolerance and what is right for your plan on whether you should even have bonds in your portfolio. Now, remember, if we say under 5 years or less, you have something that you need, maybe you're using a treasury bond or you're using something short-term in order to have that money saved up for a house down payment or for a car or something like that. So you might be using bonds in that sense, but typically we're not recommending having a big portion of your portfolio in bonds when you're in your early 30s. So that's one thing. With the actual I-bonds, just to give some color and overview of what those are. So U.S. Treasury bonds, you have to go to treasurydirect.com to get those. That is literally a government website. It's a terrible website. Government, again, and it takes forever to get logged in and all of that. But you can purchase the bonds directly from the government. So it's not like a treasury bond where you go onto your Charles Schwab website, you go onto Fidelity website, and you're buying a bond in the secondary market. No, you're actually purchasing these I-bonds directly from the government. They come in $1,000 increments. You can purchase up to $10,000 worth each year per person. You can't purchase more than that. So you can't go in there and buy $100,000 worth of I-bonds. It's $10,000 per year. Now, this was really, really important a couple of years ago when we were having huge levels of inflation, because an I-bond, as you can imagine, the I stands for inflation. So it is covering inflation that happens and giving you a rider for the inflation. It's basically giving you an increase in the interest based on inflation that is happening in the country. Based on, you know, I'm sure they use multiple data points, but CPI data and things like that. So a couple of years ago when we were looking at this, I-bonds for one year were paying about 9%. So you had 9% interest on those payments. A little more background. The rate updates every 6 months. So every 6 months, that 9% that it was at one point then updates based on inflation over the previous 6 months and might then be 6%, or might be now they're right around 4% rate. And they typically have a little bit of just a regular premium on them. So they have a standard interest rate plus the inflation rider that goes on top of it. So you have right now, I think the rate is less than 1%. That is the standard rate. And then you have a portion that's added on top of it for inflation. So you really need to evaluate what you need those for in your portfolio. I've seen different plans that I've worked on, and especially when they're up in the 9% range, folks taking a portion of their emergency fund, $10,000 of their emergency fund, maybe even $20,000 if they have a very large emergency fund, taking a portion of that emergency fund, putting it in an I-bond to have some inflation protection against what is in the emergency fund and making sure you're getting a good interest rate on it. Now, that's not as valuable today because right now the rate on an I-bond is less than what you can get in a high-yield savings account. It's a little bit less than what you can get in treasury bonds. So those paying 4 to 5%, I think the current I-bond rate is right around 4% with the rider, the inflation rider and the premium that they pay. So you really have to evaluate this and make sure that you're putting money in the right places as far as for your overall portfolio and saying, okay, I have a retirement account or I have an investment account where I have what's called an 80-20 portfolio, taking 20% of your portfolio and putting that all in I-bonds. One, it's probably not practical because you can only do the $10,000 per year. And two, I would probably, if you're going to have bonds in your portfolio, I would probably stick with something different, maybe a bond fund or a treasury account that is easy to access that you could sell at any given time. Because here's the other thing about I-bonds. You have to hold the I-bond for at least a year. So a year that it's locked up for, and within a five-year time period, if you sell the I-bond, you lose the last 3 months of interest. So that was a lot of information. I think go back to Quint's original recommendation, but that's kind of the overview of what I-bonds are. We have tons of episodes about this, especially a couple of years ago, so go back and listen to those too if you want a little bit more information.
He's just about the best there is.
I think it's great. It's what we did when I-bonds were at 9% or so. We took a portion, actually quite a bit of our emergency fund and put that in. We went on Treasury Direct and bought the I-bonds. Now, I haven't done anything with them.
You've left them alone. You still have them.
I still have them earning interest. Yeah. And now it's like it's in a vault on this obscure website that has this obscure password that I actually have to type in on this obscure keypad that, I mean, I'm talking, it's like literally it's absurd.
Yeah.
So there's moments where I'm like, I probably should go in and sell these and move these over to the Capital One account where we have part of our other emergency fund. And then I think about it and I'm like, oh, that sounds exhausting. Like, I don't even want to do that. So, you know, again, but I can't imagine that as being part of my overall investment strategy.
Yeah, not as far as like your portfolio saving for the future and for retirement. It's more get interest on some money that was in your emergency.
Yeah, I'm 46 and I do have some treasuries as part of my overall portfolio. Yeah. And primarily that's because I've had some tax liabilities and things I'm, you know, kind of saving for
that
and
within
so forth.
5 years.
Exactly.
Year.
5 years or less. Don't invest. And I'm using treasuries. I'm using, you know, primarily short-term treasuries and I'm just, you know, kind of buying them and they're being redeemed and I'm buying them or they're maturing and I'm buying them and so on and so forth. And I'm keeping it real simple. But 36 years of age, dollar cost averaging, I don't know. Go back to the plan and see why you're thinking about bonds.
Yeah, I agree. I think more than anything, the I-bonds are used to get a nice interest rate or inflation protection on an emergency fund, not necessarily an investment tool.
Great question, Alex. All Alex did was send us a question to podcast@diymoney.org. That's podcast@diymoney.org. We'll send him a $25 Amazon gift card. Keep them coming. Remember, friends, the secret to wealth is pretty simple. Live on less than you make. Invest the rest. Do so for a very long time. Make it a great one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want your question aired on the show, be sure to send that to us and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.